You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another Friday night episode of the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am Martin Bruda.
I am Chris Ellis.
I'm Dan Collins.
And I'm Chris Gilbert.
Are we having fun? Are we enjoying ourselves in our COVID isolation?
I gotta go. I just got an eBay notification. Just kidding. This is the fun of doing it on our phones, right?
Comedian, funny guy.
Well, I wasn't joking. I did get a notification.
Banned from eBay.
I've only bought a couple things. How many's a couple? Sorry.
Yeah, if it comes in one box, does that count as one?
It depends if it's a short box.
I have the. How should we say? I have the, a notorious distinction of receiving my very first short box full of comics in the mail. It didn't have that many in it. It's only about half full, but he packed them nice and neat, so that was pretty good.
Where'd you get that?
That was a fellow out of, I want to say Brampton, but that could be wrong. And it's Armbro Comics. Remember Armbro? He's on the eBay. He's kind of like I've got about 3 or 4 sellers saved, and they sell their books pretty inexpensively and stuff like that. So I ended up picking up my almost a complete run of Legion, but you know the L dot E dot I dot G I dot dot dot.
The 90s. Yeah.
I think it started in 89, wasn't it? Legion 89 was the first.
I think so.
But it was one of my favorite comic book series back then. You know, I read every single issue when it came out, and you know, Lobo was a member of the team, and Lobo was hot and sparkly back then, and it was a lot of fun. So figured, what the heck, I probably sold them all when I sold off that big huge chunk of my collection in 2005, and they were cheap, inexpensive, and I thought, I'll get the whole set and reread them. I think I'm missing 1 or 2 issues, and I somehow managed to order an issue from a different Legion volume, so it's got a different logo and everything, and I'm like, yeah, that's not the right book. But I checked on the listing on eBay. I did indeed pick the wrong one, so there might be 1 or 2 issues I'm gonna have to track down. What other fun and exciting things did you guys get up to this week? Anybody else get any epic mail calls?
Honestly, I haven't bought anything. I did get a couple of things in the mail that I had bought previous. I got my Spawn Mortal Kombat 11 character in from EB Games. That was kind of a nice little surprise. That was fun.
All right.
And I got a Chapel character that I picked up, or a figure that I picked up off of eBay. But again, that was a couple of weeks ago I bought that. It was just slow getting in the mail, that's all. But no, I've been good. I haven't bought anything. I'm living vicariously, Martin.
I finally contacted Sean and Grey Guardian and said, look, I should probably pick up my comic. But I think they're actually opening next week for like 1 to 5 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I did take a look. Sean and I have been chatting back and forth a little bit as we try to navigate Lunar and the new DC distribution and stuff. Because I figured if DC's only shipping a few books, maybe I'll get something that I wasn't getting on a regular basis just to throw them an extra dollar, since, you know, my pull list is going to be so small. But yeah, I think it's May 19th is the official day.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. And they're going to be open. Like, you can walk into the store and stuff. There'll be social distancing and not as many people in the store at one time, but it's not going to be curbside. You can just walk right in.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to have, like, in our store, well, we don't have a store. We have an office, but we're going to have the spit guard up and all that stuff, and everybody's going to have masks, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, I've been going to the office ever since day one, so what do I know?
Well, we're in the same position at work. We've got the sneeze guards all coming in, and the masks, all the PPE, sanitizer coming at the wazoo, all that stuff. But now we're not going to actually open to the public and probably until around the 1st of July. And I guess that really depends on how things go from this opening, right? Like, if things go really horribly and they decide to shut stuff down again, then, that could change, but, they're not in a big fat hurry to get us open to let the public in.
Yeah, we're the same thing. I mean, I was in the office solo and everybody else was working from home. We then started rotating one tech in. So there was two of us in the office. There's three now, you know, one in the junior area, one in the senior area. I'm in the admin area, and everybody's kind of, you know, watching their P's and Q's and not sneezing in each other's coffee mugs in the kitchen and stuff like this. And I think we'll probably, if not next week, the week after, bring in the admin girl back, and because the phones have been just ridiculous, because we got an ancient phone system and all we could do is forward one line to her cell phone. We couldn't do anything more than that. So we've got three lines coming into the building, and it's all been just funneled in through her cell phone, and she can't forward it to anybody else's, and so that's a bit of a problem and stuff. So getting that communication back would be huge. So, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's like the premier and the prime minister are saying, this could all change in a moment's notice. You know, if the second wave hits a lot harder than we thought, or, you know, all of a sudden there's a new strain or more cases pop up all of a sudden and stuff like this, they're just going to pull the plug and we'll go back, you know, to more isolation. So it's the state of emergency is extended, I think, if I'm not mistaken, all the way to July, I think.
I think he did extend it, but I'm not sure what the date is.
And that just means that just gives him administrative powers to do a whole bunch of things, like ask people not to go to work anymore, or saying, yeah, you guys can go to work, or curbside, or, you know, whatever. So that's not a hard set deadline. It just means he's got extra powers that he doesn't have to sit in front of Parliament and get a vote on it. And that's all.
And dollars too. Right. Dollars. Like it frees up funds that are not normally available.
Boy, I wish I had some funds that were not normally available. I keep spending them on eBay.
That's why you don't have funds that are not normally available.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to start selling on eBay.
No guff.
You don't have to go to eBay. I'm right here.
So yeah, here's the official announcement on Great Guardian's Facebook page. So reopening Tuesday, May 19th. We will be reopening our doors Tuesday, May 19th in a limited capacity. We will operate as a condensed storefront, strictly adhering to the social distancing protocol that has been laid out for the country and province. We will set up a large contingency of safety measures for the public and our staff to ensure a comfortable experience. The temporary hours will be Tuesday 1 to 6, Wednesday 1 to 6, Thursday 1 to 6, Friday 1 to 6, Saturday 1 to 4. Close Monday and Tuesdays, Mondays and Sundays. That's Tuesday, May 19th. In theory, Diamond Shipping, May 20th. Mm-hmm. So
new books,
get books that week, or are they're not coming for a week after?
Yeah, I've read different.
I guess we'll see, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is DC doing? I've read some of it, but my brain's too fried to comprehend.
Well, DC kind of jumped the gun a little bit, and they wanted to get books to people early.
Yeah.
So they set up a distribution agreement with two companies who happened to be mail order companies that you could already get stuff from, but they kind of created new names for the distribution wing. One of them's Midtown Comics. And now a lot of people don't realize this, but if you subscribe to a Marvel or a DC comic, it actually gets shipped to you by Midtown. It doesn't get shipped to you by DC or Marvel. So what happened was Midtown would get the books from Diamond, package them, mail them out on behalf of DC, and DC and Marvel paid them for that service. So they were already a distributor of sorts. They also handed out all the comp copies So all the complimentary copies that went to creators and reviewers and some of that, that all got funneled through Midtown as well. So they were pretty much already a distributor per se. And that's one of the reasons why those two companies account for like 50% of all comics that go through Diamond. They said, okay, we'll set this up and we'll see if we can ship comics early. It won't be the whole set of comics. It'll just be some. Some of them are going to be the Walmart books, you know, the Walmart giants. Some of them are going to be, you know, they're not the normal print run for direct distribution. And then, you know, this freaked the snot out of Diamond. Diamond changed their minds, obviously, and Diamond's all of a sudden, oh, no, we're going to open. We'll open back up. No, don't panic. We're opening back up.
Don't take our business.
Yeah, exactly. So Diamond currently has a stock of DC Comics in the warehouse that they just didn't ship yet. They're going to start shipping those books. And then, in theory, DC's going to be sending books out through both. Like both, well, three, I guess, through Lunar and the other company, which is, I think, called UCS, and Diamond. Yeah. So you, as a retailer, you can pick where you get your DC books from. Now, nobody's clear as to, are all books going to be available from both distributors? Or are Batman books only going to be available from Lunar and Superman only from Diamond? Nobody knows, even the companies involved. Like the person who's involved in Lunar, she said, I don't know. Maybe DC's gonna switch right back to Diamond once Diamond gets their flow back. Nobody knows. You know, it's all temporary.
But the retailers still have to order, like Sean.
The retailers have to order. So what officially happened was every single order placed with Diamond when Diamond closed the doors were canceled.
Yeah.
Every order. So retailers had to reorder through the new order forms that Diamond has set up. So everything that you were getting, it's gone. It's done. It's canceled. So maybe your comic shop is you know, forward thinking enough to say, okay, well, this was his pull list. I'm assuming he still wants these books and reordered them through Diamond. But not all books are available. The DC just announced that the last two issues of the Supergirl series are going to be digital only. They're not distributing them in print. So if you were getting the Supergirl comic, too bad. You're not getting it anymore. You know, from any distributor. So it'll be interesting to see because not all books are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think DC published a list of what they are actually shipping. It's not that many books a week.
I think get rid of all the Bendis books and go from there.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't think I saw any of those Wonder comics back on the list. I know Superman's on the list. I saw Batman. I saw Flash. I'm pretty sure I saw Legion. But I didn't see too much else.
Yeah.
No, like, what about all of the horror stuff that they had? The, the Joe Hill books. You know, like Head in a Basket. And...
I did see Plunge, which is one of their more out of black label ones, but I'm not sure about the other ones. I mean, we can pull it up here in a sec here.
Just curious, because those are the DC books that I get, right? Like, I mean, I get Deathstroke and stuff, but Deathstroke already ended, so... I was going to cut Teen Titans anyway, so it's, you know, if they cut it, then that makes it easier for me. I don't have to say it, you know, they just don't have to ship it, right?
And I think it's just going to be a slow start back. But in August anyways, Batman 3 Jokers, number one comes out.
Okay.
Deceased Dead Planet, number two. So I'm assuming number one either already came out or is coming out. Batman 96 is solicited. Batman 97. Batgirl 48, Detective Comics, Harley Quinn, final issue. So issue 75 is the last issue of Harley Quinn. Nightwing, Red Hood, Outlaw, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, Strange Adventures, which is the Adam Strange miniseries from Tom King. I'm happy that's finishing. Action Comics, Amethyst number 5.
Woo!
Aquaman, Batman and the Outsiders, Batman Beyond. I'm really happy to see this. The Batman, The Adventure Continues, the series that's based on the Batman cartoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Issue 3, so that's Alan Burnett and Paul Dini writing with Ty Templeton art. So this is issue 3, so issue 1 and 2 are obviously, you know, June and July.
In the works, I guess.
A lot of Batman. Batman and Superman, Catwoman, The Flash, Green Lantern Season 2, Hawkman, all the Justice League books, Justice League Dark, Justice League, and Justice League Odyssey, Legion of Superheroes, Metal Men. Why? Yeah. Is anybody reading that? No. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? 105, issue 105. That's coming out.
Wow. August. It's getting up there, eh?
Superman, Teen Titans, Young Justice. Sorry, that's one of those Bendis books, isn't it? Young Justice, Plunge number 6, Books of Magic, John Constantine Hellblazer, The Last God, more hardcovers.
Well, it seems like a pretty healthy list for August.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to be picking things back up in August quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't see any of the other Joe Hill books there.
Okay. Well, I know that like Heads in a Basket was a six issue miniseries.
Right.
So some of them were only miniseries, but I know that there was a pile of stuff kind of coming out. But, you know, like they had House of Dolls, but that might be coming up to be done. But I guess the problem is I haven't got my last round of books yet, so I don't know what series as finished or still waiting for. Right.
Right.
I see that Todd McFarlane says Spawn 307 is going to be on shelves June 24th.
There you go. Yeah, I think everybody's just kind of kicking back into gear. You know, I'm looking at a whole bunch of solicitations here for June and stuff like this. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
The stuff is either going to be there or it won't. I think I have a ton of sympathy for the retailers trying to figure this whole shit out. Mm-hmm. I did see some shipments from Lunar on the internet, and they seem to be packing their books way better than Diamond did, but the retailers got hit with customs and duties and HST on the packages when they came across, and the shipping was more.
Oh.
So there's not a lot of profit margin ordering small amounts of issues from Lunar at the moment.
No.
You know, so
we won't be seeing those Walmart books here in Peterborough then.
Well, there was those Walmart books that are supposed to be on the end caps and stuff like this, and I just don't think that's a realistic thing. Yeah. Since Canadian Walmart has a different set of buyers than American Walmart, so you can go down in the States, walk into Walmart, and see stuff you've never ever seen. Meanwhile, you go into a Walmart, whether it's in London, Ontario, or whether it's in Whitby, not only is everything exactly the same, it's in the exact same aisles. Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in getting any copies of those comics that they put on the ends, the end caps?
Well, I'd be willing to try them out for sure to see what they are. I'm not even sure what company it is that makes them.
Yeah, and well, that's the point, right? Because they're smaller, independent companies. So
I feel like they are coming from one publisher, though. Like, I do think this is like one publisher's initiative. I don't think it's like a random selection. Like, I don't think you're going to see Image books there or even Ahoy or something like that. Yeah, looking at the March list of comics, it's way, way, way smaller. Aquaman, Batgirl, Batman and Superman, Flash. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I think that's what everybody's kind of, you know, this whole situation has put everybody in this wait and see kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It could be shut down again by then, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of which, there were hints about this before the crisis, before everybody got shut down, but they kind of made it official that they are indeed releasing Joker War. No, was it Joker War Journal?
No, I think it was just Joker War or something.
It's some kind of a Punisher knockoff, because somebody put a meme of the guy who plays the Punisher in the Netflix series. You know, kind of being upset about that, but the Joker Warzone. It's called Joker Warzone. So Joker Warzone, the main story is in Batman 95 to 100, and then it has tie-ins. Nightwing 70 to 75. So there's five issues of Nightwing that just completely disrupt the original Nightwing story. Looks like four issues of Detective Comics, three issues of Batgirl, one issue of Harley Quinn, two issues of Catwoman, one issue of Red Hood Outlaw, and then Batman, the Joker Warzone one-shot. I don't know. Like, do we really need a crossover right now?
No, absolutely not. I think we're done.
Like, I'm hoping that, like, they say the main story's in 95 to 100, and I'm reading Batman. So I hope I get everything I need out of that. Mm-hmm. But I'd be upset if I wasn't reading Batman and I was reading...
Like, I get Red Hood. That's all I get out of all those books. So for... And unfortunately, it's only one issue out of that. But, like, you know, if it was five issues out of Red Hood, I'm just like, why bother? Why even buy them?
And that's what happened with me with that Inhumans relaunch. I was really digging Inhumans. It was really good. Then all of a sudden, was it the Black Vortex or whatever? It was some crossover where everybody started dressing up as dominatrixes. And it just ruined the original storyline. And they never picked up the original storyline when they were done. And it was just like, okay, well, done. You can have it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And you know, Chris to sell at the flea market for a dollar.
Speaking of that, when are you allowed to get back into the flea market?
No idea.
No idea. No, no sign of selling your books to us then, eh?
No. I don't know. I don't even, like...
Do you even have a list?
Yeah. I know I got three Doctor Who magazines that I'm waiting for Dan to come out and buy. But yeah, I mean, if they start talking plastic plexiglass shields and stuff, like, how do you do that out of flea market? Encase myself. Yeah, so I don't know how it's going to work or if it's going to work. I'm sure they'll figure it out. It's not like we're the only flea market in the world.
Yeah, but anyway, like I said, it would be nice if you could get in and at least get your books. At least you could put them up on, like, Kijiji or whatever and try and move some. So you're not just sitting on all that money, like, doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of brutal.
And you know you got guys who are hanging around here who would love to spend money on your stuff, too. So.
I had a couple people message me to see when we're opening, but I can't really do them much.
The flea markets are, it's like bin digging, right? Like you go in and you touch everything. How do you sanitize that? How do you clean that?
Right.
After somebody is like coughed and sneezed and barfed all over your books, you know, like picking through them.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
So is Marvel doing something similar to DC as far as the distribution of the books going? Or are they just sticking with Diamond because that's how they roll?
That's how they roll.
Yeah, everything that I've seen is that they're waiting for Diamond.
Okay.
Now, they did do a whole bunch of things and go nuts with digital-only stuff. They're moving a whole bunch of stuff to digital-only.
Oh, yeah.
How's that, like, do they post how that stuff's actually doing? Like, are people eating that stuff up, or?
I haven't seen anything in terms of sales numbers. I haven't seen anything. But even then, I mean, like, places like Comic-Con and stuff like this, they were just getting sales numbers from Diamond. So they won't have any of the digital stuff or anything. So no clue.
Well, they're essentially coming back with a big crossover event too, right? The X of Swords.
Well, I that was announced before.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still happening. I haven't seen anything that it's happening. But I got to be honest with you, with the exception of Star Wars, I pretty much didn't have any Marvel books left.
Yeah.
Before the crisis, before we kind of shut down for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, if I pull up my pull list, I think the majority of my stuff was artists, writers, and whatever it is.
AWA
Upshot. Yeah. Who did say that they're shipping what's the one with the Winnebago on the cover? Something Zero.
Walking Dead?
Yeah, I think it's their zombie book, but just for the life of me, I can't remember what it's called right now, and I can't cover up for not being able to click fast enough to get to my Dropbox and pull up my stuff, so I'm just gonna pretend and just talk over everybody and just kinda go la di da di da.
You know, I have some of the stuff like Resistance that I haven't even cracked open yet. Like, I am so far behind on reading. I thought, you know what, this is going to be a great chance to get caught up on my short box, and it really hasn't been as great a opportunity as I thought. I've been spending most of my time writing instead of reading, so it's doing one, not the other.
Yeah, so before I shut things down, it was indeed Star Wars was the only Marvel book I was getting. The book I was thinking of is called Year Zero.
Oh, Year Zero.
So, I mean, Wolverine and X-Men were the last two Marvel books I dropped. Yeah. So realistically, even from a DC point of view, I've got Batman. The Batman Adventure Continues. So that's two different Batman books. Far Sector, just to finish it off, that Green Lantern book. Yeah. Legion of Superheroes. Man-Bat miniseries was supposed to start.
Yeah.
Superman, and then Tom King's Strange Adventures, because I dug his Miracle Man miniseries, so the nostalgia was big for that Silver Age / beginning of the Bronze Age character, Adam Strange, that I used to read. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's all just a wait and see.
Like, who knows? Maybe this is going to reinvent. Like, why are we flooding the market with all these Batman books? Why is there 17 different X-Men books? And it's too much. And then they throw variants at you with every single issue, and you just want to put a gun to your head and say, you know, we'll bring back the old days where you could buy every single comic that Marvel produced and DC produced on a monthly basis and not go broke. Mm-hmm. You really could read them all. And I don't think anybody can do that now.
No. You can't even collect all the X-Men books and not go broke.
Yeah, it's just bonkers.
I think Marvel totally blew it with the X-Men, but
it was just too much.
Yeah.
It was just too much. They could have easily have just done a weekly X-Men book instead of four individual X-Men books that tied into each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? DC showed that was completely possible with some of their weekly series that they had. And some of those weekly series were awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, some of them, okay, there was a little bit of, people were a little tired of it and got a little sick and tired of it. And maybe they didn't sell too well until you found out that one of them was the first appearance of Batwoman.
Yep.
But other than that, yeah, I don't know.
I just looked up this year zero, and it looks like you can read the books all online.
Yeah, they published all during the shutdown. They published all the number ones online, so you can catch up. The other really neat thing that they do is they print a black and white, very low cost, almost looks like a previews catalog, but it's a comic book size, and it literally has black and white reproductions of all the issues in it. So issue one had like the first issue of Resistance, the first issue of Hotel. Issue two had like the second issue of Resistance, the first issue of something else. So if you get these for $4.99 every month, you pretty much can read all the series for $5 a month.
Hmm. I like the way they did the online, like the way you read the book. Like this, I can read. Like you're not going back and forth, you're not zooming in. It's all set up that you just scroll and read.
Fits the page.
Yeah. Yeah, looks like the first 10 issues are in there.
Yeah, everybody's got to try. Everybody's got to try something different, right?
Yeah.
Well, they want you to buy them. So the best way is to try and get you hooked, give you the first one for free, and you know, if you like it, then you're going to buy more, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. I was getting really excited about this ETER book. That one looked like it was going to be a lot of fun. And then I saw some of the interior art, and I was like, oh, it looks like a really bad webcomic. Oh, no. I was really excited about this, and I'm not so sure.
Like most Marvel books?
We'll see how it goes. They've got solicitations here where they're talking about what's coming out, what's not. And so, yeah, year zero, number one, is April. Archangel 8, number two. Resistance number two, Red Border number two, Hotel number two. And then, like I said, this Upshot Now, which is the, what does it say here? This massive, specially priced volume represents all four first issues in black and white, along with sneak peeks at second issues.
or something like that.
It's kind of neat, a neat idea. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like the publisher was a TKO Studios. Don't even distribute, and you can either go on their website and buy all four or all six issues of the series all at once, or you can buy the trade paperback at the same time. So depending on what format you prefer, here you go. All done, all finished, no delays, no worries. That's why I'm not too excited about things like Death Metal and Gen 5 and the Swords of – is it Sword of X or Sword of 10?
Yeah, kind of Swords or X of Swords.
You know?
I don't care.
Is that stuff going to be late as heck?
Hopefully.
And we're going to be waiting for issue 10 forever in a day and then not realize that we had issue 10, but it was in a different box. And when issue 11 and 12 come out, you panic and you went on eBay and you paid too much for issue 10. And then 6 months later when you're putting it all together and putting in your shore boxes, you found 3 copies of issue 10 because you panicked. No, sorry, it was issue 11.
Issue 11?
So if anyone needs issue 11, I got extra copies.
What's that, the Doomsday Clock or whatever?
Yeah, Doomsday Clock. I know, it's just bonkers. So did anybody else get anything interesting and cool?
I got my Arthur Adams.
Woo! Arthur Adams what?
My The Art of Arthur Adams X-Men.
Oh, right on.
Oh, nice.
But it was very strange. It said it wasn't shipping until June from Indigo. I don't know why so long, but it showed up early, which is nice. But I had to go pick it up at Chapters. And I don't know if you guys have picked up anything at Chapters lately. It's you have to drive up, phone them to let them know you're there, open your trunk, get back in your car. Then they come out, they put the package in your trunk, and they go back. You have to wait in your car, and they go back inside Chapters, and then you can get out and close your trunk and drive away.
Yeah.
That's the strictest thing I've seen so far.
I'm sure that'll change May 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Today we had, today was just a little bit too much. So we kind of cut out a little bit early at work. We were there, but not in spirit, physically.
Yeah.
So one of the techs went and grabbed a whole bunch of pizzas, and me and the other tech went to Publican House to get some libations to go with the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a kind of weird restriction where it was only one person allowed in the store at a time.
Yeah.
So I said, no, you go. So finally I walked in and the chick behind the counter was just like, you guys came in the same car. You might as well both come in. I'm like, okay. So I told Brent to come in. As soon as he comes in, I goes, this girl says that we were swapping spit in the car, so we might as well swap spit here. And she started laughing her ass off. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I bought, you know, all the publishers and stuff were saying, you know, since we can't get our books through Diamond, order direct, come get it, you know, any books you're missing. So I hopped on Scout Comics' website, and my buddy Harry keeps talking about Stabbity Bunny. Whoever the heck Stabbity Bunny is. I'm assuming he's a bunny who stabs.
It is.
Now, Harry turned me on to the zombie comic. Help me on here.
Zombie Tramp.
So I have like the first 35 issues of Zombie Tramp or something like this. And so I figured it'd be exactly the same thing. It'd be something weird. Somebody
weird.
Said something that issue one is like is jumping up in price a little bit. You couldn't find it anything. Went to the website. No problem. Stabbity Bunny number one, first print, direct from the company. No issues. No difficulty ordering it whatsoever. So I don't know. We'll see. I thought I ordered the first 6 issues. I only got issue one in, so unless they're coming in a different package or I messed up ordering, I don't know. We'll see.
So you paid 6 issues worth to get issue one?
I got to check my credit card statement. I'm not sure. It's just been too busy this week. The package came in. I'm like, so I gotta figure it out.
We talk Star Wars?
Sure.
Did you guys watch the new season of Clone Wars?
Did not.
It was very good.
I'm a few seasons behind in Clone Wars, so I was a little worried to start it, but I hear it's quite epic.
It is very good. It's mostly really about Ahsoka Tano.
Mm-hmm.
And right up to Order 66 where it pretty much ends.
Oh, okay.
It's like the backstory of what was going on for them while the movie was going on. Or for her anyways. But I'm getting a little worried about season 2 of Mandalorian because season 1 was so unique, right? You got this one guy and the girl there and the baby Yoda and all that stuff, but that was pretty much it. You got some stormtroopers, some more Mandalorians, but now they're adding all these known actors and actresses, and there's going to be a live Ahsoka Tano and a different one, and it just seems like they're piling on because season 1 was so good that, to me, it's not going to be the Mandalorian anymore because there's going to be Jedi and I don't know. I just saw an article that, what's his face, Timothy Oliphant?
Yeah.
He just got hired to be on season 2. So, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's losing some of this uniqueness by adding all these known people.
They made a big, huge deal about, was it Ming Wan that was in it?
Yeah, she was very briefly, but yeah, she was in it.
Yeah, but exactly, and she ended up being in like a third of an episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's possible that maybe some of these are, you know, just brief kind of encounters in the universe. They might not be integral to the whole story.
Apparently Boba Fett's going to be in it too, so.
Yeah.
Mandalorian is going to be like third string character. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he'll just be, like I said, maybe he's just got a cameo in one episode where there's like a meeting of Mandalorians and there's like 600 Mandalorians. Just like E.T. was in the sequels, the prequels, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, blink and you miss it. Or maybe not. Maybe it's going to be exactly like you said. Maybe they'll just ruin it with too much and then you're going to be like, ugh, why?
Yeah, it's not going
to. Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's it's hard to say because it could go like Batman, you know, the Batman movies where they piled on the villains to the point where the movie made absolutely no sense because they were so busy trying to highlight them all.
Yeah.
Or it could actually be like the Star Wars movies where you don't know who's under the mask. Like Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper and, you know, Sean, what the heck is his name? You know, he was that big fat guy on the planet, right?
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, Simon Pegg, sorry, yeah. You just, they're there, but, you know, they're not really there. You don't know who it is until after. So it's possible they could do something like that. But Timothy Oliphant's a good actor, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for him, for a show to get a caliber of an actor like that, it speaks to the show, too. So, but yeah, I'm kind of curious how they're going to play the Boba Fett angle.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're making a big deal that it's the same actor that played Jango Fett, right?
Yeah.
In the movies that Sam say doesn't exist. So it's, so they've got that. It's, I don't know. I'm curious.
Well, they also, you see it in the Clone Wars, but they also have one of the clone troopers, Rex.
Yeah, Rex.
I don't want to give it any away, but anyways, apparently he's going to be in The Mandalorian too. So the actor playing, he'll play both Boba Fett and Rex because it's the same guy, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. It seems like a whole different thing, that's for sure.
But what's even more curious is, are they going to explain where Boba Fett came from, like how he managed to survive the Sarlacc? Or are they just going to be like, hey, there's Boba Fett. Look, he's killing people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how detailed are they going to be? Like, does the Mandalorian go looking for Boba Fett? Like, where does it all kind of fit together?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm pleasantly curious on it. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, like you said about stars being under helmet and stuff, the two stormtroopers on the bikes that were punching.
They were shooting. Yeah, too. They missed this. Yeah.
They were somebody. I can't remember who it was.
Oh.
Jason. Was it Jason? I don't know who it was.
They were actually big actors, and people were mad that he had punched Jason Sudeikis. Or
that's what I want to say. Yeah.
And they were mad because he punched Baby Yoda, and people were all angry. He punched Baby Yoda. But it's not Baby Yoda. The guy's 50 years old.
That's right. No. It's, what do they call him again?
I'm not even sure what the, I'm still calling him Baby Yoda. I don't really care what they want me to call him, but it is what it is. It's Baby Yoda.
Yeah. The child. That's what he's officially known as, the child.
If they wanted to be any child, they shouldn't have picked Yoda.
So what's going on with you, Dan? You're off the quiet.
That's because I've been lagging.
Lagging's not fun.
No, but so I watched the Scooby movie.
Oh yeah? How was it?
I really enjoyed it. So we bought it through Amazon Prime because you have to buy it. It was just released theatrically, supposed to be released theatrically today.
Mm-hmm.
And coincide.
Oh, okay.
Because there's no theaters, they just released it straight to, like, you can buy it on YouTube and Amazon Prime and through the Cineplex site. and I bought it through Amazon Prime and watched it with the kids, and they really enjoyed it. There were a lot of jokes that I laughed at that they didn't laugh at, but they laughed at a lot of jokes as well. And really good. I saw it has like a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb already, and it was just released today. So I feel like some of that's trolling.
Yeah,
but you know, it was I'd watch it again. I paid $30 to watch it with the kids as an experience because we were supposed to go see it in the theaters but couldn't.
Yeah.
So I don't like it was well worth the $30 to watch it with the kids and stuff. So I was happy. Now I know there's probably going to be some Blue Falcon fans who are mad because they really like run that character into the ground.
Yeah.
They have the Blue Falcon is in there. It's the son of the original Blue Falcon.
Yeah.
And he's like more worried about checking his Instagram than saving people. That type of a character. And so they build him up over the movie, but at the, like he's a professional DJ at one point in the movie. And like, it's, I feel like there's going to be some guys who like the original Blue Falcon who are shaking their fist at the sky going like, you ruined it. They even say at one point he gets introduced as, here he introduces himself as like, not your dad's Blue Falcon. So, but I liked it. I thought it was really good.
So do you own it now that you bought it through Amazon Prime or?
Digitally, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can watch it all over whenever you want again.
I can, yes. Yeah, I could rent it for like 25 or buy it for 30. So yeah. I was like going to buy it for 30.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure the kids will watch it a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll watch it hopefully at least once more.
Yeah. Or
maybe more. Still going to buy the Blu-ray when it comes out just to have it, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because I'm a nerd.
even so, like $30. You would have spent more than that taking the kids to the movie theater to see it.
Just for the tickets, yes. Absolutely. Tickets.
So, I mean, you know, people are like, oh, $30 to watch a movie, $30 to watch a movie. We're already paying $16, $17 a ticket.
Yeah.
And, you know, $30 for a bag of popcorn and stuff. So, makes sense. You know, like you said, you and the fam got to sit down and enjoy a movie together, and it cost you $30. It sounds awesome.
Yep. And if you have to pee, you can pause it.
Nice. That's the important part.
Yeah. Right? That's like the biggest bonus ever.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you're in a movie theater, you're watching like Star Wars 12, and the whole place is just full of people. It's right in the middle of a lightsaber duel, and you whip out a remote control and hit pause, and the whole screen pauses. I'll be right back. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Gotta take a whiz, guys. I'll be right back. Nice.
Yeah, mob scene.
You'd be popular, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it was Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a feeling that it's going to kind of go that way until they open up the theaters again anyways, right? Like, they don't really have much option. They have these movies. They've spent who knows how many millions of dollars in, you know, production, post-production, voice casting. Actors are already paid, right? They have to recoup some money. So they don't have a choice. They have to try and sell them, you know, or rent them for 25 or sell it for 30 for digital, right? And so in 2 years when the digital doesn't work, now you got to buy the Blu-ray and everybody's happy, right?
Well, I can't see the movie theaters not being the exact same position as the comic book companies and stuff. You know, you've
got
this content, like you said, you've spent this money, you've got this effort and stuff like this, but sales weren't all that great before the situation, before we shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many movies, like, you just if it wasn't like a big blockbuster movie, nobody was going to go see it.
Yeah.
How many movies like lost a ton of money because nobody went to go see it and then, you know, saw a little bit of a better life on Netflix and stuff? Like, how many companies are like, forget that, I'm just going to release my movie on Netflix.
Yeah, save all of the huge money and just in promotion, right? Like commercials and all of that stuff to hype the movie, to get people to go watch it, when you could just put it on Netflix and people will just watch it anyways.
Like, I don't know how many times a movie, you know, you saw a trailer for a movie and it's like, yeah, that, I'll watch that when it comes out.
Yeah.
I'll watch that when it streams. I might buy that disc. oh, I might. And then, you know, one trailer. Ooh, we got to go see that. We got to go see that on the big screen.
I haven't even watched the new Hellboy movie. It's fallen into the pile with the new Fantastic Four movie.
I enjoyed the Hellboy movie. I thought it was pretty good.
It was fun. It was, granted, it isn't the greatest Hellboy movie ever, but it's a Hellboy movie.
And Mila's in it, so.
Yeah.
Right? Mila Jovovich.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Well, even the greatest Hellboy movie wasn't the greatest Hellboy movie. I mean, they're fun and they're enjoyable, but, like, let's be honest, it's fun. We'll leave it at that.
Did you guys ever watch the animated Hellboy movies that they put out?
No, I didn't actually. No.
Yeah, I have them. There was two.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did, yeah.
They were pretty good.
I remember watching one. I have the two pack. Don't think I've seen the second one, but I keep like looking at it on my shelf and going, damn, I should watch that.
New Mutants. They keep teasing us with that one.
Oh my goodness. If I hear anything else, I'm just going to cry. Like, I'm so sick of them saying, it's coming. It's not coming. It's coming. It's not coming. Like, come on, just leave the tablecloth on the table. Stop yanking it off.
If you're going to release it, just release it.
Holy crap. Yeah, put it on Netflix. Let's just watch the movie. So do you think Disney Plus is going to get some of the higher rating stuff, or are they just going to stay with the G stuff, like the, you know, the family-friendly stuff? Or are they actually going to get into some of the darker stuff that, you know, Disney actually owns?
It depends. Like, there's has definitely been emphasis and people have been saying it from Disney that the Disney Plus is an all ages service. Mm-hmm. You know, don't expect to see the R-rated version of Deadpool on Disney Plus. Now they still have, I can't remember what the streaming service is. They bought half a Hulu or something, or the Roku, or like they got something with someone else. Mm-hmm. That they could then turn into something bigger or darker or something like this. But, you know, I just think that Disney Plus, you're looking at the stuff that the kids can watch, the stuff that the parents can watch. I don't think you're going to see anything grim, gritty or dirty or sexy or anything like that on that channel. I don't know. Like, everything is just wait. I don't know. Maybe wait. Could change tomorrow.
Well, and that's the big problem. It will change tomorrow, right? Specifically based on whether people do what they're supposed to do. And if they can't, well, then, you know, if people can't shop at the grocery store and social distance, then we're going to be right back in this. And, like, you know, Dan was already at Walmart and dealt with that, right? So if people can't, then guess what? It's going to be 3 months from now and we're going to be not in the studio, still chatting comics, still looking at each other on Zoom. And Marty's going to be wearing his, like, COVID hat so that he doesn't have to show his haircut.
Oh, my gosh. I have the worst COVID haircut on the planet.
So speaking of waiting, we still don't know about Fan Expo, right? Like, technically, there's still a go, but probably not.
Latest COVID update was May the 4th for Fan Expo. And they're closely monitoring the situation and will continue to update us to keep us in the know on their channels. So I think they're still wait and see. But honest to goodness, like, granted, this is at the end of August. It's not going to be the same.
No.
Especially if they can't let more than 50 people in at a time or something stupid like that. You know what I mean? Like, if they're only going to let 100 or 150 people out on the floor, one, the lineup's going to be like
all day.
Ridiculously, like, yeah. And to get your 15 minutes in and 15 minutes out, like, it's hardly going to be worth the effort to want to go if it, you know, like, I don't know.
So let's say it does open right up, and by then doors are wide open, you can go in and stuff. I still think we're looking at two different scenarios. Either everybody's going to be so starved for that con experience because all the other shows were done that it's going to be massive, just huge, biggest it's ever been, bonkers. Or everyone's still going to be a little bit skeptical about the openings and things like that, and they're going to stay home. They're going to be too scared to go. You know, everyone is still like, everybody keeps, you know, it's not fear mongering because it is an actual possibility and it is something we got to be concerned about. But there's a lot of people, oh, wave two. If we haven't had that yet, I could see a lot of people going, well, shit, I'm not going to Fan Expo and starting wave two.
Well, yeah. Bringing wave two home to my elderly parents or. Yeah,
exactly.
To my kid with asthma or whatever. And
that's what gets me when people say, oh, it's just like the flu. It's just the flu. Well, you read an article a couple of days ago about this a guy part of an orchestra. And he walks into one of their practices, and then 18 people end up catching it from him, right? Like, that's not the flu.
Well, the thing is, it is a flu.
It is a flu, but it's
not It's just flu. A really nasty, very super infectious one.
Yeah.
That spreads super easily and really quickly, has a very high infection rate, does a nasty number on your lungs. So if you have any kind of lung problems to begin with, or you're elderly or something like this, you're euchred.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it is a flu. Oh, well, more people got the flu last year than got this. Because we were not staying home all day last year.
Yeah.
Because we weren't social distancing last year.
Well, you know? Because this had the potential to be worse than the flu, right? Exactly. I think that's what people are missing, because they're like, well, this wasn't nearly as bad as the projections said that it was going to be. Well, that's because people stayed at home like they were told to. Exactly. So it didn't spread around like it was what they assumed was going to happen. Like they say, like the flu is 1-to-1 is the like you'll only give it to one person. So if you have the flu and you're in a room of 10 people, you're only going to give it to one person. Yeah. With if you have COVID-19 and you're in a room of 10 people, you're giving it to 3 people. Mm. And then they're going to go home and give it to 3 people. So it's 3 times more infectious than the regular flu. Yeah. So and I really honestly think the only reason that they did any of these measures was just so that we didn't inundate the hospitals.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
At this point, they now have full wings at the hospital, and they're ready for it. So when wave two happens and 1,000 people go down in Peterborough, then they have room in the hospital and they're prepared for it. I mean, they still only have 26 ventilators. So, you know, if 1,000 people get it, I'm sorry, guys.
I mean, that's exactly it. Like, I've got quite a few customers that are long-term care facilities, and it was weeks after we started shutting everything down before they even had a wing isolation area in case they got somebody with COVID. You know, like they had to move residents around to different rooms and shift things around. The one place now has an entire area. They built doors in the hallway that weren't there before, and they have an isolation area with its own kitchenette and all this sort of stuff. But they had to plan that all out. They had to move the stuff that was in there out of there to make that room. They had to stockpile supplies. They had to do this. So, yeah, they're better prepared now. They most definitely weren't prepared when the government stepped in and said, you know, we should do something and send everybody home for a little while. Like, we definitely needed to catch up.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt whatsoever. So, I don't know. I still think every one of us is going to get this thing eventually.
That's what they're saying.
If some of us haven't already had it.
I swear I had it back in January because I got knocked out for a week with all the same symptoms you're talking about.
Yeah. It's totally possible.
I had a cough for a month.
Oh, and after I got knocked out, I coughed for like 3 months at work. People were like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I can't help it.
It's completely possible. Or it's just another strain of something else that hit you bad. Like, gosh only knows.
Yeah.
The other thing about the Fan Expo, even if it's a go, it depends if the borders are open, right? Because most of the guests
are American.
And if there's no guests, nobody's going to go.
Well, they won't get the big ticket price anyways, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it'll be more along the lines of the March,
you
know, the guy for March, because most of them are Canadian, right? Like, they get a, you know, Mike's deck or whatever from, you know, but, you know, or Rob Liefeld or whatever, but the stars are not super huge for that show, but like, you know, when they get into the big movie stars and all that fun stuff at Fan Expo, and if they can't produce that, then people aren't going to be paying the $4.99 or whatever they want for the weekend pass, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's exactly why they haven't announced anything yet, because they know that if they're the first big major show when things open up,
they're going to be busy.
They're going to be busy. But if things are closed, they need the ability to say, sorry, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I think there's sufficient number of, I mean, granted, maybe some of the draw isn't as big, but I think there's plenty of Canadian talent trapped on this side of the border.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the border was shut down, you'd have a pretty darn decent cast of characters.
Oh, for sure.
You know, the wrestling ring would have no problem. The wrestling side of things would have no problem filling the place up with giant classic wrestling characters. We'll have to get all those Arrow kids from Vancouver to come over. You know,
yeah.
Star Trek is shooting in Toronto. Maybe they're free. You know, gosh only knows. Like, it's possible, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we know the boys' films around Oshawa and Toronto and stuff too. Right? So, yeah, you never know.
Well, guys, I think that's it for this week. It looks like we're running out of time. Again, gosh only knows. Next week might be a rerun. The next week might be another one of these. We don't know. Fan Expo, radio show. We don't know. Nobody knows. But until then, have fun.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?